From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch, health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton. Longtime legend and parkite Dave Hanscom joins us in the studio today. Dave is here for two reasons. One is to preview a very popular cross-country race series, the Wasatch Citizen Series, a series he started and directed for many years now. Second, just because we love this guy. He is a legend, a myth. He's still here with us, and after 30, many years skiing and showing all of the beauty of Utah and Park City, we are excited to just chat with Dave. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thanks, Pete. And I may be a legend in your mind, but I'm not a legend in my own mind.
Typical humble Dave Hanscom.
Yeah. No.
And it was pretty fun. I did not
start the Citizen Series, by the way. That was by the guys that ran White Pine, Steve Erickson and Jim Miller, back in the late 70s. And a guy up in Ogden, Jock Glidden, who's had some races up there. And they combined them to make the Wasatch Citizen Series. So.
And that Wasatch Citizen Series, for those who don't cross-country ski, myself here, I know that's odd. How many races, what's happening here with the Wasatch Citizen Series now?
Okay, well, it's a five-race series. It's varied over the years, but we've settled on five races. We have two classic technique races and three skate or free technique. The races are at various venues. We have a couple over at Soldier Hollow, the first being a week from Saturday, assuming they can make enough snow over there. The weather has not been conducive to having good snow at Soldier Hollow, unfortunately. But stay tuned on that one. We may have to move it up closer to Park City. Anyway, two at Soldier Hollow. We have one at White Pine on the golf course on January 4th, and then one at the farm in late February, 22nd, which is a longer race. And then the other race is at Mountain Dell, and that's another classic race.
Lots of fun. You know, people forget that Soldier Hollow is how much lower in elevation than Park City?
Well, the gods of Nordic skiing in Scandinavia have decreed that 5,800 feet is the maximum elevation, which means that
for an Olympic
base elevation, for any international competition. And of course, Soldier Hollow was developed for the big one.
Yeah, 2002.
So 5,800 feet max means that the base area is probably closer to 5,000 feet elevation. So that's 2,000 feet difference from right here on our golf course.
Wow, hard to believe. And it seems like we have so much snow. I haven't been over to Soldier Hollow yet this year. And it's surprising for me to hear that they don't have.
Yeah, they got a lot of rain when we were getting that wet, heavy snow that made such a perfect base for our skiing here. Mm-hmm. And they do depend on man-made snow over there and, to get a thick enough base to last into the spring. And it has to be 20 degrees or thereabouts to really be very efficient at making snow. Mm-hmm. So it's been marginal. We'll see. Yeah. They've got a big Nordic combined race this weekend that they're scrambling to get ready for.
Wow. Good luck to Soldier Hollow.
So
the race series coming up, you have been, while you didn't start the Wasatch Citizen Series, you've been the race director for how long now? I know you've tried to give the job away time or two, but you
I'm
do
still
such
trying
a great
to give the job away.
Well, you
we're
know,
on here, please.
I might take it from you, but I would just ruin it, Dave. I mean, the way that you get the sponsors, the support and the turnout is just so wonderful that it's every race I go to is just such a joyous event. So,
well, that's the goal, really, to make it fun and to bring families out. We try to do lunch whenever we are at a venue where it works. White Pine, unfortunately, is not. But the kids just are, it's incredible to watch these little kids out there scooting around the track. And as I've said many times, it used to be that the kids in our races were kids of people who were already racers and started families. Well, now with these great junior programs going, Park City, Soldier Hollow, and Tuna, the kids are joining up because their friends are in the program and they're bringing their parents. And so we're getting a lot of adults who are brought along by their kids. But anyway, it's a fun event. We try to keep it interesting and, you know, make it user-friendly for all ages, abilities. You know, we've got sit skiers and Special Olympic skiers, and, you know, it's been fun. And sponsors, you know, I think I've developed a relationship with a lot of different companies over the years, and they keep coming back. It's great.
That opportunity drawing really is supportive. The best thing. Pete, really, it would be worth you learning to cross-country ski.
Dave, you don't know this.
Just so Pete's an endurance runner, big time. Like, he just did the rim to rim to rim
of
the Grand Canyon.
I've done that. That's a great run.
It's great. There is no reason in the world that he should not be. I mean, he does ski-mo stuff, but there's no reason he shouldn't be a cross-country ski racer, so we got to get him on board. And I'll tell him, but I know him well enough to know that an opportunity drawing, a really good one, might be the motivator.
Might be enough to get me involved, right? Yeah. Food and opportunity drawing. You got me.
So. Yeah, all of our prizes are given away by random opportunity drawing. The winners of our races don't get anything any different from, you know, what the kids get, just a little medal. We want everybody to have equal opportunity to get all the good prizes and not have the same people take them home every time. So that's worked out well, too.
So I'm actually one of those parents that you mentioned where my daughter's cross-country skiing. She's one of those little girls out there.
And, oh, nice.
And we've never gone to a race yet. She's heading out today to go to Nationals for cross-country running in Madison, where they should be skiing instead of running. But what advice would you give to those in the community like myself who don't have a background in cross-country skiing? Their kids, their friends are the one who are dragging them in, and they're starting to fall in love with it. And as a parent, as an endurance athlete, as, you know, a fitness-minded folk, I'm encouraging that. And I've seen and I've known a lot of the kids in cross-country skiing who are great kids. I'm cheering it on. But what advice would you give to us so that we can support our kids and make them lifelong cross-country skiers?
Yeah, I think learning how to cross-country ski is probably it's a good idea to take a lesson or two. And White Pine right here in town is a good place to do that. Skating is probably easier way to start than classic skiing, although with the waxless skis that are coming out these days, you don't have to worry about all the gooey stuff to put on the bottom of your skis. So either way, if you take a lesson or two, the Wasatch Citizen Series has a recreational class, and that group skis one lap around the course, so it's 5 kilometers. And the other adults, you know, the more experienced adults, will ski 2 laps or 3 laps depending on the race. So if you want to start out with a little shorter race, that works, and skiing against people who aren't, you know, seasoned cross-country ski athletes will be less discouraging. I'll never forget a race we had over, this was at Park Meadows Golf Course. This was way, way back, probably 35 years ago, 25 years ago, 35. God, time flies.
Sure does.
You fly past us while we're skiing. So just.
And one of the super runners in the community, whose name I won't mention, but you would recognize it, was out there in one of his early cross-country ski races. And he's a bit younger than I and way better shape than I could ever hope to be in. And I beat him in the race. And at the end of the race, he looked at me and said, "How can you do that? I'm so much better shape than you are." I mean, he was really, really quite angry.
I've said that same thing.
Right. But I mean, you got to realize that, you know, it takes a little time to develop the technique and deal with it. It's like getting old. You got to deal with it.
Deal with it. Be patient.
Be patient.
Be easy on yourself.
Enjoy.
And, you know, Dave, I thought that you were going to say when you were talking about the little kids coming out, I thought you were going to mention that now there are many generations even that you'll see at the Wasatch Citizens.
We have a three-generation family.
I've seen your grandkids out there racing.
Well, mine too, yeah.
And yes, and many other families as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So that sort of bridges or segues into the other topic that we love to have you on to talk about, the aging athlete. And you are 78 years old, and you are still, I mean, as we said, you came from the track this morning where you were skiing. And, you know, I think in this town in Park City, there are many aging athletes, and they pride themselves on their fitness level. And yet, you know, still there is that question of how to do it gracefully so that you can still do the sports that you love so much at a level that you want to be at. What are your top couple secrets?
Well, consistency, of course, is the secret. You just have to keep after it. And I wouldn't call myself an athlete. I like to get out and exercise.
There's this humble side again.
I mean, how do you define an athlete? I define an athlete somebody who really trains to go fast. You know, they do speed work and they do strength work and all of that kind of stuff, which I don't. I get out and go at my pace, and I love to be out. And I'm out in the summer. I'm hiking or mountain biking or without an e-bike, I might add. I won't get into that one. I've had this argument with Charlie, but motorbikes on the trails are not consistent with. Anyway, where was I?
So what defines an athlete and what doesn't? Which is an interesting distinction, because I consider an athlete someone who, you know, gets out there many times a week. Maybe they do the occasional race. Maybe they're not really competitive, but I guess I have a lower bar for what an athlete is.
Well, thanks. You can call me what you want, but as I said, I love to be out. I love to exercise. I go as fast as I feel comfortable going, but I'm not pushing myself to the point where I'm putting myself under like I used to. Yeah,
in the pain cave, no longer.
right. Yeah. So I used to be an ultra runner. The Grand Canyon was a great one.
Right.
Right.
With that aging, though, you mentioned kind of some of your feelings towards other users. How do you see change occurring within the let's say cross-country skiing community, running community? How do you continue and keeping that kind of peace that I love when I'm out, when you're interacting with different users and having different experiences?
Well, I don't interact with other users other than people that I'm with in any kind of significant way, you know, friendly, hello. But let's put it this way. I've been run off the trail enough times by mountain bikers without motors that I hate to see mountain bikers out there with motors, because I know it can only get worse. I've been knocked off the trail by somebody coming down when I was going up and ended up off in the bushes. I hate to think about if he had a bike that weighed twice as much and a motor on it. So anyway, that's another subject.
Have you filled out the survey?
Yeah, we filled out the survey.
Yeah, I need to fill out the survey.
Well, and I'm going to actually bring in, you're an author of several books, Wasatch Tours, or co-author, and backcountry skiing is a topic that you're familiar with, and seeing that change also in both Park City, or the lack of the lack of access here in Park City. And let's keep telling people there's no access. But how have you seen that community change, and do you like, are you loving that there's so many people involved in that? It's one of the largest growing areas of the industry.
Yeah, I don't do much backcountry skiing anymore for reasons I won't get into, but I think there are too many people in the backcountry now. I mean, when we started back in the 70s, you'd never see anybody. And it's nice to have more people out there just for safety. But I think you get too many, and there's too much competition to get to the powder first, and too many people to be able to even find powder in the backcountry if you wait a day after a storm. So that's not quite true, but you need to know the secret spots.
A little bit, yeah. There are none in Park City. Just keep telling everybody that.
Yeah, probably true.
Yeah, so volume 1, 2, and 3, Wasatch Tours. And it still is sort of the Bible of Wasatch ski tours along the whole Wasatch.
Yeah, it helps not to have competition. You can still... Actually, somebody came out with an app and a map, yeah. So I think people are using that, but some people like to see the pictures and read the book and things like that. So we're happy that it's still selling. But
what other projects are you up to now, Dave?
Unfortunately, not much other than Wasatch Citizen Series. And, yeah, of course, the White Pine Tuna Relay was last weekend. We were fortunate to have fantastic snow, perfect weather. It was just a delightful day to have the event, which
Did
we
you
haven't
race
always
or?
Been able to do. And
right.
We've only done it about, I think, 4 out of the last 8 years, mm-hmm, because of early snow not happening.
But yeah. Did you organize it or did you race it?
I sometimes do both, but we were short-staffed, and so I ended up with a timer in my hand and didn't race. But
yes.
You know, Pete, you started to ask me a question a couple minutes ago that went off in a direction I wasn't expecting, but just a comment about how you deal with becoming an aging athlete, I think, is an important thing for people to be aware of. When I was in my early 50s, I started slowing down. I had some of my best time skiing when I was, you know, early 50s. In the next few years, I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't ski as fast, and it was really discouraging. And I was down just, you know, psychologically for a couple of years. And you got to deal with that, and you've got to realize this is coming and not expect so much of yourself that you can't perform at the level that you can accept. And 50 is probably the time when that starts to happen. And it's still fun to be out. And, you know, I can still do everything I did before. It just takes a little longer. And because we have age group competitions, then you begin to compete against just the people that are in your age group, and you don't worry about the younger guys, mm-hmm, that are going so fast.
Yeah.
Some of the kids on the track on Saturday had the fastest times I've ever seen going around White Pine. Mm-hmm. 11 and a half minutes.
You're kidding.
Wow. I'm not kidding. It's amazing.
The 5K?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
incredible. What I said.
Yeah.
What are they eating? Well, it's wonderful to hear you say, Dave. So both consistency and then just adjust your expectation and know,
yeah,
I mean, because,
yeah,
you see so many people dropping out of competition, and it, mm-hmm, is hard. There is that, you know, we all have pride and a little bit of ego, I guess, and when we're starting to slow down, people tend to drop out. And your argument is just stay with it. And
yeah, and in the Citizen Series, some of our biggest age groups are 50 and above.
Yes, and they're competitive. Wow.
They're competitive with one another.
Yes, yes.
And they have been with the same group for many years, and it's great to see.
And you just celebrated, I think in 2018, your 100th Wasatch Citizen Series race.
That's right.
Yeah. There are just a handful of people who have done that.
Right.
And so, and you have a lot of competition in your age group, which you might not think.
That's
and is
true.
And is it just 70 to 80, or do you have like
no,
a 70?
No, it's five-year age groups now.
So 75 to 80.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and how many That's per so age group are you anticipating?
Well, in the younger, quote, age groups, younger, older age groups, we could get 30 people in a five-year age group.
Wow.
In the 50 to 55 or 55 to 60. And, you know, it does tend to taper off as you get older and people have health problems and they, mm-hmm, can't do it anymore. And
yeah.
But that's, you know, most of the people that are coming out are quitting because they have to, not because they want to.
Right.
Yeah. What
and
a
I've
wonderful
been blessed
sport.
with good health. What can I say?
Yes, and
thanks, Mom and Dad.
Exactly. Yes, and your kids have you to thank for that as well, because they're incredible athletes themselves. Well, Dave Hanscom, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. It seems like every year when you come in to talk about this, it's just flown by the previous year. So thanks so much, and we'll see you out there at the Wasatch Citizen Series.
All right, that sounds good, and thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about skiing and aging.
let's adjust that, aging gracefully. Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows. Wherever you find your podcast, you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.